Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And folks, we've got a very, very tight schedule. I've got Keith Broders that's going to be connecting with us on the very back end of this program. And so I've also got Trevor Lawton that we're going to have on the phone with us in just a second. But I just want to let you know that our format has changed a little bit today. Don't tell anybody, but we're cutting back on the promos so that way we can get into more conversation and dialogue with both Trevor and Keith. So I'm hoping that you take copious notes, because if you don't know who Trevor Lawton is, Trevor Lawton is a subject matter expert on communism and how communism has been penetrating our school system and our system overall. And Trevor, speaking of school system, Trevor, I've really been focused on the education system for the past month or so. And one of the things I've kind of wanted to jump into, as you talk about these how religion drives culture and culture drives politics. One of the things that I have noticed, and I'm highlighting now, and I've been talking a lot about this on my program, is that we have this this problem with our education system, because it has taken on the facade of teaching, but it is actually driving ideological religion, secular, godless dogma and religion down the throats of children. And so the real problem I see is that it's not necessarily religion driving culture anymore. It's our education system that is this new age religion, because instead of it being Sunday school, it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday school, and how the education system, the schools, have taken over the role of religion in our society. Do you not see that, or do you agree?
Yeah, I would say that's right, but they are now a religion. It's still a religion shaping culture. But yeah, they have taken upon themselves of this sort of godless religion, new age, big state religion. The state is now God. And so this is the culture now that most young kids are experiencing. This is the education they're getting. And so it's no wonder they're voting for Bernie Sanders, and no wonder they just voted Democrat in big numbers in the last election. They think this is right. They think this is the progressive way of the future, right? Because that's what they've been taught in school, and they don't have mostly their parents don't teach them anything in the contrary.
Yeah, so one of the things I'd like to just share with you this backstory, and so I'll make up the time for you. So we're just going to record right through if necessary. But I went over to a friend's house, and he's a good Christian man, has kids and so forth. And he's been engaging his kids on history, the Constitution, Islam, and some of these other things. And when he started trying to get his kids to try to express themselves about their feelings about the Constitution, these conservative values and so forth, these kids were literally hostile towards their father. It just seemed like they had no respect. They had disdain for him, what he represented. He's the patriarch and it's a bad thing and so forth. Yeah. And there was just this hostility. I just noted this real hostility. And then when I started engaging the kids, when it was no longer their father, it was just me and we were talking, they all of a sudden became hostile, and or not hostile. They were open, objective, and they actually started listening to the things I had to say. And it just seemed to me like they've been programmed to refute, not to even listen to anything that their parents are telling them. And I believe the education system is behind all of this, that they're telling the kids, and I think that as they sexualize our kids, the kids are feeling empowered with this new ability to sexually orient and identify any way they want to, and that the schools are telling them that we will protect you. Once you identify, your parents will not be able to hurt you or take away these things that make you feel good, and these kids are being enabled in such an evil way that, you know, we're losing this war.
We absolutely are, and if we don't take back the education system, we will lose it. That's inevitable, no matter what else we do. But what is revolution but the overturning of natural hierarchies? And one of the key hierarchies of life is the family.
Yes.
You know, parents. And with authority over their children and teaching them and mentoring them, and in return that the kids give respect and they learn, and that's how life goes.
Yes.
And now if your friend had been teaching the kids that right from the beginning, he may not have got this pushback, but he probably didn't realize.
No, so actually
he was quite shocked to find out what the schools have been doing to them.
So actually, I know this guy, and his kids go to church regularly, all the time, and so they actually have even supplemental religious activities and so forth. I mean, they're very active, but I'm just saying that's how effective the school system is in affecting even strong religious families.
Yep, and look, I had a friend who pays a lot of money to send his kids to a nice... He took them out of one school because he thought it was too liberal. Uh-huh. So he put them in a church school.
And it was just as bad.
With what he thought was conservative teachers. And the first week, the kids are coming back with the homework all about Cesar Chavez.
Yeah.
The communist labor leader, and what a wonderful man he is. It's everywhere.
It's the same curriculum.
The socialist indoctrination is endemic.
Yes.
Unless you're homeschooling your kids,
right,
your kids are getting doses of socialism on a daily basis. I looked at my own boy's textbook. He's just started at an American high school very recently. And the first book he comes home with is Environmental Science, and it's all about global warming. It's all about how we got to end pollution and capitalism, and it's just pure Marxist indoctrination right from the start.
Right, and unless you're actively going through the curriculum and refuting and calling these things out, you don't stand a chance. In other words, you're right. Homeschooling is really the only method. I tell people, but there's lots of people that can't do that. And I'm just saying,
that's not a long-term answer. That's good for some families. But,
right.
You know, okay, we save 1% of the children. Well, you know, that's not enough. That's not enough to save the culture.
No, it's not.
I'm not going homeschooling. Absolutely, I'm not. We've got to take back the education system, and we've got one of the very first things we have to do. And as you know, as an advocate of Republic Review, most of what the federal government does is unconstitutional. And one of the worst and most egregious examples of that is the Department of Education.
Yep.
So if we could get rid of the Department of Education and return education to the states and even lower level control, that's going to make a massive difference to the culture.
Yes.
Huge difference, because people will be able to take control of education again, and Oklahoman parents will be able to teach Oklahoman kids with Oklahoman values.
Right.
Not San Francisco and Washington, D.C. values.
Right. But right now we have, I'm going to venture to say, somewhere about 30, maybe 35 million kids in school.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of kids that are being programmed or weaponized as Marxists. And as a matter of fact, for the communist revolution to be successful, Lenin was the one that stated that you have to have useful idiots. And literally, the useful idiots are our kids. They have literally weaponized them without objectivity. They've been indoctrinated. And so the enemy actually, maybe your next book could be The Enemy is the Children.
Well, we're going to do one on education. education after the church, because I think that's critically important. But look, I went to a big communist convention a couple of years ago. It was a people's summit in Chicago, and there was about 3,000 Marxists there of all different stripes. And I got talking to a man called Carl Davidson. I've corresponded with Carl for years. And he was in SDS. He was in the League of Revolutionary Struggle. And now he's in Democratic Socialists of America. And he told me, he said, Trevor, communism is my North Star. It's my guiding light. And I said to him, Carl, I said, you were there in 68, you know. 68, the big year, the anti-Vietnam War, the riots. Paris, France almost went communist, like it's just on the verge of going today, now. And I said, do you see another 68 round the corner? And we're seeing that in France. And he said, oh, yeah, he said, it's just around the corner, and this one's going to be even better. And I said, well, what do you mean, Carl? He said, well, look, back then in 68, it was just us young, crazy kids. America was conservative. Our parents were conservative. Our churches were conservative. Our schools were conservative. We were the crazy radicals. We've had 40 years to teach the kids about Marxism. The next one is going to be the big push.
Yes, yes. I completely agree. And it's hard to combat Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday school with just a simple one-hour Sunday school.
And most churches you'll go to, the Sunday school will not be that deep anyway, will not teach you anything about political values.
No.
Will really just be a child-minding service for most kids.
There's a guy that is in Georgia. His name's Mark Urbach. I'm going to have him on next week or any day. And anyway, he's an educator, and I've asked him if he would take on try to create a small little hand guide or a small little curriculum that, you know, that would actually help the parents combat these theories and ideologies that these kids are beginning to learn, literally take these things head on. And look at, you know, probably going down that path of publishing that, because I honestly think that that would be a great weapon in taking back some of our kids that are currently in these systems for parents to say, hey, you know what? I want to engage and I want to take my kid back, his mind and his future back, and America's liberties back, because I honestly see that some of the warfare is going to have to be in the home.
Yeah, for sure. Well, it is. And, you know, it's not as though most parents out there are fully informed conservatives.
You know.
It's, very, very few of them are.
No, but
And so they rely on their schools to teach their kids about civics and government, because they don't have much of a clue.
Right.
Some of the grandparents do. And that's why I love to see more grandparents taking their kids to, you know, Tea Party rallies and
yes.
to museums and trying to teach them the culture, because the grandparents grew up when it was still relatively unpolluted.
Well, you know G. Edward Griffin, and I interviewed him earlier this year. And when I interviewed him, he came out, you know, and said when he graduated from high school, he was a collectivist, because back when he was going to school, they were already teaching collectivism and that ideology. And I'm going, I mean, how far back? Obviously, we already know that they started this indoctrination in higher education at the turn of the century. And they just, from the Scopes trial of 1920s on, they've literally been, you know, inching more and more communist theories down our throat. And so anyway,
even goes back beyond the grandparents' generation. But you're right, but at least some of them have some grasp.
Some grasp, you know, yes.
And they still they can still recite the Pledge of Allegiance and whatever. But yeah, it is that serious.
Yeah, I absolutely.
The country is teetering on the brink of socialism and tyranny, and the education system is pushing us over.
Well, let me put the challenge to you. Because you already know, I think, some of the key points that they use in communism in getting kids to, fundamentally accept these things without any alternative concepts. And so I think this is something maybe you could do. I don't know if Mark would do it, but maybe it's something you can do. I would just love to see something hit the market that will actually become an aid to parents so that the parents can sit down with their kids and have one night a week of what do you want to call that? A therapy or what? I don't know. There's a word for it when you take somebody that has been brainwashed and you unbrainwash them. And
you're deprogramming.
Deprogram. There you go. That's the word. Yeah. Thank you.
This is what I think, GR. We are so close to going off the edge. The only thing that's going to save us is a full frontal assault on the federal government, and I mean the abolition of the Department of Education, the abolition of some of these other groups, because we don't have 20 years.
You're right.
to try and save this. We don't have 2 years.
You're right.
Hardly to try and save this.
We're right
on the edge, and we have only really got the next couple of election cycles to gather the support to take the necessary measures to gut the federal government. If we don't gut the federal government, we're toast.
And that's I like what's going on in Wyoming. I'm starting to get traction in Montana, so there is hope. And actually, I'm anticipating in 2018, I was hoping to do rodeos with you, but even without doing rodeos, I have found that I've had almost an equal effect. But unfortunately, doing the rodeos, my plan with the rodeos with you was that we were going to be able to hit six states and actually get these six states beginning to, start thinking about cogitating and, working and implementing, a path forward for Republic Review. But I'll just say this, that even though I couldn't get those things done, I was able to at least develop and start this nurturing and development of Republic Review in Wyoming. I'm getting traction in Montana. I'm hoping on South Dakota, Idaho as well. And so I'm still out there plugging. And maybe in 2020, we will do these rodeos where we can literally put these candidates in front of the electorate and put the, paint a target on them and say, look, these are the guys that can save you. Make them do their job. That simple. So anyway.
Well, I think, your proposal is about the most effective thing out there. And this is it, because most of what conservatives do is tinkering around the edges. It's, if we stop 50% of some left-wing measure, that's a big victory. We change a textbook here, or we, get some real radical defeated in some county commission race out in Boise or something, that's a big victory.
Right.
We're fighting little guerrilla battles all over the country.
Right.
And that's great, we've got to do that stuff. But we're like the French resistance behind enemy lines. We're sort of an occupied Nazi territory. And we're going up and blowing things up and, attacking the Nazis and harassing the Nazis. But we're not going to win unless those armies storm the beaches at Normandy. We ain't going to win.
Right.
And so we got to be that army that storms the beach at Normandy, and we got to take the federal government on. And we have, I'm not talking militarily. I'm talking through the ballot box. I'm talking through force of arguments.
Right.
We've got to start the process of gutting the federal government.
Right.
Because the revolution is being paid for by our tax dollars, and the programs implemented by the federal government, like the Department of Education, are the cutting point, are the spear of the revolution.
Right. So
we're not going to save this country unless we take that out.
Correct. And so one of the things that I'm working with Keith Broders on, and he's taking – I remember talking to you, I think, about rescinding the 17th Amendment. Instead of repealing it, having states actually reject it. Because Delaware actually went through the mechanics of – because they rejected it in 1913. And in 2010, July 1st, they formally rescinded their rejection and ratified the 17th Amendment. And they forwarded that to the – so the federal government accepted their changing their position. And so the argument is in our legal system is that that door has to spin both ways. And so or swing both ways. If you, one that rejected it before can ratify, then those that ratify can reject as well. And so I've got a write up. I'm going to send it to you and I want you to take a look at it and let's get this going because I would like to actually put the Senate and Congress on notice and put them on their heels to say, hey, look, there's a real viable plan that the states could actually just rescind the 17th Amendment by literally having all these states that ratify it, rescind the ratification and reject it because the federal government has opened that door to letting them do that.
Well, I wonder if it does cut both ways. I hope it does.
Our legal system has to.
I'm not sure of the technicalities of that, but that would be certainly worth pursuing and finding out more about it, absolutely.
So I would say this, because when I talked to this constitutional professor, he said, there's nothing that's stopping the states from doing this. And if the states do this, it would come down to the jurisdiction of Congress. And what would Congress do? Would Congress call up the militia? They don't even have a militia anymore. You know, so how would they actually try to, you know, invoke the, you know, any type of affluence? Because when it comes down to it, the states are the final arbiters. And when you have that many states arduously standing up and saying, look, we're not accepting the 17th Amendment anymore, and literally not repealing it, but rescinding it, there's not much that they can do. At least his opinion was that the Supreme Court can't step in because this is a political issue, not a law issue or an interpretation of law. It's political. And so, anyway, yeah. I'll send this to you, and I'll get you 2 cents.
The only thing they have is the power of saying, well, we will cut federal funding. So you've got to really go for the states that have that are net losers of federal, that contribute more than they take back.
Well, like Wyoming is one of those, yes.
Yeah, and there's a few of them, and those would be the most logical ones to start with, I would say.
Right, okay. Well, I'm out of time. I need to let you go. I've got to go into hard break, and so I kind of floated that hard break, so it wasn't so hard, but I wanted to make sure I got this time. Folks, again, trevorlauden.com, and that is on my Reclaiming the Republic podcast page for Red State Talk Radio. Go there, get the link, and you can go and check out his books. You can get both his movie, his books, and stay tuned. He's got 3 things coming out, and it all sounds hot. I really appreciate your time, Trevor.
Oh, you're welcome. It's great to be on GRE anytime.
All right. Thank you again, and we will have you back on. Folks, we will be right back after this.
I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. Okay, so we are back with Keith Broders. We've had him on earlier on the show, and so it is getting that time of year where we're really getting prepped for this upcoming legislative session. And so, Keith, are you ready to kick some butt and take some names?
Well, I think so. I think so. I'm really looking forward to 2019. And I really think that the restoration of our republic is going to be predicated upon the willingness of the people to step forward and to assume their responsibilities that they have. The Constitution, I read a great quote the other day from James Madison, and basically he said that the Constitution was written specifically to protect the people from the abuse of power by the government. I think he actually worded it. He said that the Constitution's purpose is to prevent the majority from violating the rights of the minority. And frankly, our Republican form of government is predicated upon representation. Representation in the House of Representatives and representation in the Senate. And in both cases, the House of Representatives has been destroyed due to the lack of adequate representation, and the U.S. Senate has been destroyed by the dismissal of the duly appointed senators from the state legislature.
So let me clarify this. When Keith says inappropriate in the House, he's referring to the fact that there are so many people that they represent, and the Constitution dictates that they should only be representing 30,000 people per representative. So we've completely lost our voice because these representatives in the House really don't know who we are and how can they really represent that many people. So anyway.
Well, the American Revolution allegedly was fought over taxation without representation.
Right.
Well, there was a lot more representation then than there is now. The American colonists, starting with the Jamestown, the establishment of the Jamestown colony in 1607, the colonists basically governed themselves up until the time of the French and Indian War. For over 150 years, the American colonists governed themselves. Their representation was local, and their voices were heard locally. And we had a great deal of peace, prosperity, and freedom. And then after the French and Indian War, when the British government got so deeply in debt, they decided that they needed to start taxing the colonists in order to fund their their war debts. And they started basically over-regulating us, and we had no representation. And so when we wrote the Constitution, or had the Constitution written by the states, it was established that in order for a republic to function properly, there needed to be adequate representation. And in Article 1, Section 2, Clause 3, it said that the ratio should be 30,000 to 1 representative ratio. Today, there's over 700,000 people in the average congressional district. This is not adequate representation. And what happens is we now have an oligarchy of 435 men and women who basically are supposed to represent we the people, but instead represent the people who elect them, or the corporations that elect them. The elected officials are servants of the financial elite. The Wall Street bankers and the corporations pay millions of dollars in each election cycle to get their cronies elected, who will basically then spend the next 2 years in the Congress, or excuse me, the next 6 years in the Senate, to basically repay the benefactors by voting in favor of legislation that benefits the bankers. As a result, we the people are being overregulated, overtaxed, and it's all due to this problem of representation.
Right. So, now, Keith, let me dive into the 17th Amendment, though, because what we want to do, and what I was hoping to really talk about, it isn't necessarily all of the different problems of representation, because we can talk about that later. But what's really important is in getting people to come into the Constitution Club, and so they can actually get these templates. Are you ready to start setting up? Because yesterday I was referring, actually in a previous show, I actually spelled out the fact that there were seven states, Utah, Georgia, and those states, that we needed to send a separate template to them. And then there was, I listed about 21 states that were states that I believe were very likely in repealing and rescinding their ratification. And I'm not sure if you'd had a chance to look at working a script for that. Have you looked at that? Because what we want to do is to get ready to exercise this big wave of emails out to these legislatures. At least that's what I think we want to do.
Well, I agree, and I think that it's very important that we try to keep things as simple as possible, so that we're not going to be asking people to write their own dissertations or own articles about this. We want to provide them with, like you said, a template that they can use to create a petition or to basically send to their representative the information that is pertinent. Obviously, we have a problem. We know that we have a problem. And I think that if you go back to the era of 1913, this was the height of the progressive era. Teddy Roosevelt and William Howard Taft, Woodrow Wilson were all very progressive, and a lot of bad things happened in 1913 with the so-called ratification of the 17th Amendment, the ratification of the 16th Amendment, the Federal Reserve Act, et cetera. A lot of terrible things happened then, and I think what we need the legislators today to realize is the fact that the men who were serving in the state legislatures back in 1913, whether they did it deliberately or because they were ignorant, uninformed, or just incompetent, they voted for a lot of this progressive legislation. And frankly, this was a big mistake. Well, the mistake can be corrected by the legislators of today. The state legislators can now basically acknowledge the fact that the previous representatives in the state legislatures made a very serious mistake.
Right.
And we need to fix it.
And so what's why this is important now is because if we really want to drain the swamp, if people understand how bad the deep state is and how bad globalists have a control on our Congress, the best way to rip that control out of their grasp is literally forcing the rescinding of the 17th Amendment and taking back the control of the senators, so that the state legislators really control that. Because if you want to make it so that we now finally have a constitutional majority within the Senate, that's far more achievable if the states absolutely take control. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. When the Senate is properly organized, the states have the ultimate power. They can basically block anything that comes out of the House of Representatives.
Right, right.
And frankly, the 10th Amendment basically says that any power and or authority that is not specifically granted to the federal government is reserved to the states and the people. That is anything that is not, and anything that is not prohibited to the states. And so the states basically have a right to serve as a check and a balance to prevent the abuse of power by the possible tyranny of the majority through the House of Representatives. The Connecticut Compromise of Roger Sherman was brilliant. Right. His concept basically was that if we go along with Edmund Randolph and the Virginia Plan, we will have representation based merely on population. And on that basis, the large states will have an unfair advantage over the small states.
Right. Well, Delaware actually piped up and said, you know, we don't trust you big states. We know you'll take advantage of us.
And that's why New Jersey Plan was introduced. And the New Jersey Plan basically said, well, we want things to be like they were under the Articles of Confederation. We want the small states and the large states to all be equally represented. So there were two concepts here. There was the concept of equal representation, which was embodied in the Articles of Confederation, with all states receiving equal votes. And then there was the proposal of Edmund Randolph for Virginia, which was based on proportional apportionment or representation. And Roger Sherman came up with the idea, well, why don't we do both? Why don't we have one house that will give the people the voice and another house that will give the states the voice? And so this was the great compromise of Roger Sherman. This compromise today should still exist, and it should exist in the states where the counties should be equally represented in the counties, which is not the case today. So this whole idea of rescinding the 17th Amendment is going to be tremendously easier than trying to repeal it. To repeal it, it would have to be reintroduced in Congress. Two-thirds of the senators and two-thirds of the congressmen would need to vote in favor of it before it would even go to the states for the ratification of three-fourths of the states.
And there's no way they would let that go. There's no way.
Frankly, it's impossible.
Right.
It's just, it can't happen. But what can happen, though, is something that you helped me to discover, and that is the fact that in 1913, Delaware flat out rejected the 17th Amendment.
Right.
And 97 years later, they changed their mind.
Right.
And so this precedence has been set that states can change their ratification votes from negative to positive.
Right. Hey, Keith, I need to cut you off real quick because here comes the music. We're literally in a hard break right now. And so just stay tuned, Keith, and we'll be right back. Folks, This is a paramount issue, because if we want to drain the swamp like we're just talking about, we have to get your help in really overwhelming these upcoming state legislative sessions. So we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Please stay tuned.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open. Okay, so Keith, I'm sorry for cutting you off there. But anyway, there is a higher probability of being able to get more than enough states. And as a matter of fact, if I do the math, if I'm correct, we will end up having 27, if not maybe 30 states. When all is said and done, that would be overwhelming to say this was a bad amendment and we're glad that we're able to rescind it.
When the amendment was so-called ratified, there were 48 states. Alaska and Hawaii had not yet been added as states. And so there were 48 possible ratification votes. And initially, 36 states allegedly ratified the amendment, making it a lawful amendment to the Constitution. Since that time, I believe five more states have subsequently ratified the amendment. Basically, Delaware, Maryland, Rhode Island, several other states have come on board, and now the current count is 41 states have ratified the amendment. In order for the amendment to stand, it needs 36 out of 48 states. So what that means is that of the 41 states that have currently ratified the amendment, if six of those states change their vote, the number of ratification votes will fall to 35, which will be one vote short of the number of states that would be required to ratify an amendment. This essentially would cause the amendment to be rescinded. And that's our objective. We need to focus in on these states. Now, what I'm planning to do as far as the Constitution Club is concerned, I'm trying to rally a couple of people in each of the 50 states to serve as volunteers to help me to be able to contact the state legislators and let them know that they have a lawful right to select their own senators. And the only way that the states can be deprived of their equal representation in the Senate is with their consent. That consent was given when the states ratified the 17th Amendment. But when a state can give its consent, it can also withdraw its consent when it discovers the fact that the system created by the direct election of senators is not in the best interest of the people. One of the things that I've discovered, which is really crazy, and that is the fact that the U.S. Senate seats that are the representative of the state, supposedly, those seats are purchased by Wall Street. The average senator spends, I believe it's like $16 million to get elected to win a Senate seat. Well, that money generally is donated by corporations and the financial elite. And so the people of the states, they're not being represented in the state Senate, in the U.S. Senate. The bankers and the financial elite have purchased those seats. And it becomes the duty of the senators in the states to basically repay those who financed their election. And frankly, most of the money that goes to the election of state senators comes from outside of the state where the election is taking place. This is absolutely a complete miscarriage of justice. And it basically renders the Senate nothing more than a corrupt den of thieves.
Right. So he who pays the piper calls the tune. And so obviously loyalty. And as a matter of fact, I've talked to several state legislators, and every single one of them complains and acknowledges the fact that their senator completely ignores what they need them to do and the things that they ask, other than the little teeny things like, you know, they need a little help on some roads. And actually, when it comes to unconstitutional stuff, you will find that the federal these federal offices, whether they be a Senate or a congressman, are very quick to try to send unconstitutional money for roads and those types of things that the federal government does not have the authority to do that. So in other words, they're willing to spend money, hush type of money, in basically keeping the states down, but they're not willing to do what they're supposed to do. And so this is a huge endeavor, and this is a big educational process, but I've already reached out to several state legislators that are dark red states, Wyoming, Montana, Idaho, and I'm reaching into South Dakota currently, as well as North Dakota, hopefully before this all starts, so that they'll actually be kind of attuned waiting for this. And so hopefully with a couple of champions on the floor, they might actually be able to start breaking some momentum.
Well, in the Constitution, we have the Amendment Protection Clauses in Article 5, which basically guarantees that the states shall not be deprived of their representation. Now, when they say the states shall not be deprived, it means that the representatives of the states in the state legislatures, they shall not be deprived of their equal representation in the Senate without their consent. And so as far as I'm concerned, this basically means that the only states that are subject to the provisions of the 17th Amendment are those states which have lawfully given their consent to give up their suffrage in the Senate. And so all of the seven states that have not already ratified the amendment, frankly, I believe that they have every right to basically just go ahead and ignore the provisions of the 17th Amendment. Utah has flat out rejected the amendment. I believe that Utah, under the leadership of Mike Lee, should say, look, from now on, we are no longer going to have the direct election of senators. We're going to elect our senators out of our state legislatures. And I believe that if the other six states, along with Utah, decided to do that, they would have every right to do so under the protection granted to them in Article 5. This would cause a constitutional crisis of major proportions that would need to be dealt with.
Yep. And so are you ready to fly with the templates for at least the seven states that can actually undo what they're doing, or do you need some help on that?
Well, I think I would like some help, and if there are some people that are listening to this that would like to get involved in helping me to form a kind of a leadership team on this, my phone number is in Sacramento. It's area code 916-399-4881. If you give me a call, my email address is my first name, Keith, K-E-I-T-H, Broders, B-R-O-A-D-E-R-S, @gmail.com. If you contact me and help me, I would really appreciate it. This, like I said, I'd like to obtain some volunteers from the states, particularly those states that have legislatures that are predominantly controlled by the Republican Party, who would be more likely to support this endeavor. And if any of the listeners have contacts, personal friends that are elected officials in the states, please contact me and let me know so that we can proceed. As far as the Constitution Club is concerned, I will be putting together a group on the website. It's going to be Rescind the 17th Amendment group. And I would like to invite people to join the website and that particular website so that all of us who are interested in this movement to rescind the 17th Amendment can come together so that we can strategize, so that we can organize, so that we can conduct some conference phone calls, so that we can basically put our boots on the ground and make this happen.
Awesome. And as a matter of fact, folks, I'll put Keith's contact information up on the podcast, the Red State Talk Radio podcast page. It'll be at the very bottom. And so if you're wanting to call him and or email him, I will have that information there, as well as the link is already there to the Constitution Club. So anyway, I appreciate all that you're doing, and this is just the tip of the iceberg. But if we can start getting traction on this, and this is why this is really important to me, folks, is that if we can get Congress actually starting to, you know, recognize the fact that we're actually doing tangible things that are literally going to affect them, their livelihood, the swamp, and so forth, I think they're going to start actually understanding that they cannot allow themselves to marginalize the need of complying and recognizing that they have obligations of fulfilling the laws and so forth. And that I think this right here is the message that we need to send. And it's not a shot across the bow. This is literally a correction message, just like Republic Review. And so I think this is great. And I really appreciate all your willingness to kind of take this on, because actually this creates a good, I don't want to say smokescreen, but this provides a good, I'll just call it a distraction, or puts the focus of the Senate and even some of the legislators literally on notice of going, oh my gosh, there's some possibilities, because some of these guys, you know, think that they're going to be the ones that will, you know, like with Orrin Hatch, there's people that think that they're in line for succession, when this actually will slide back to the state legislatures. And that's that type of thing, that cronyism with loyalty to corporations, will go away. And so we've got about 30 seconds left. Keith, do you have anything else?
No, I'd just like to invite people to go to the website. It's called constitutionclub.ning, NING.com, constitutionclub.ning.com.
Awesome.
And I think the last thing I'd like to simply say is that in order to be able to restore the Republic, we cannot be saved in ignorance. We need to educate ourselves on the Constitution and the principles of liberty, and we need to realize that the Constitution cannot protect us if we do not defend it.
You bet. And so, folks, this is where we need a little bit of help. And if you understand the magnitude of what we're asking for, we're only talking about literally a few minutes out of your day to send some emails. And so this isn't a lot of effort. Well, thank you so much for coming on. There's our music, and we're literally at the end of the break. Thank you again, Keith. Folks, we will be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. So, folks, if you've been praying for an opportunity or a solution for ending this unknown hate for the Constitution by our government and by the citizens, and if you're just so frustrated with the way we've been sliding into socialism, here is your chance. This is not a Tea Party gang facade. This is not something that's going to get you interested in doing something. We're not asking you to join maybe the online club, but I mean, that's free right now. But what we are asking you to do is take a little effort to help. Read the argument for rescinding the 17th Amendment. Read the argument for Republic Review. I would ask that if you'd give it some prayer, some thought, and some true deep consideration, you'll find that these are solution-based directions we are taking, and we want to take you with us, because I believe that you share that prayer, you share that hope that we can save this republic, that we can save our individual liberties and our individual sovereignties, not just for ourselves, but for our posterity, that our posterity can enjoy their prosperity so that they can develop wealth and become independent once again. I am G.R. Mobley. I'm Reclaiming the Republic, and I need your help. We will be back on Monday with an interesting perspective on how we've got the Christmas that we have. So God bless and have a great weekend.
I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution.